Welcome to the Visegrad Insight podcast from Central Europe on Central Europe.
It's Monday, 9th of October. My name is Wojciech Przybylski. Together with me,
Adam Jasse, hello.
We are recording this podcast in the last week of the general election race in Poland. Elections are held on the 15th of October, so the next podcast will definitely be already accounting for the results in the number of seats. The projections in Poland indicate that PiS will at least struggle to form a ruling coalition, if not actually will not be able to form a ruling coalition, and the opposition will take majority of the votes. Let's see how these projections play out in the actual number of votes casted and the distribution of seats in the next parliament of Poland. This election in Poland is not only potentially pivotal for Poland, it is also pivotal for the Europe's direction in keeping its policies on enlargement for the coming years, the policies on capacity to act, to develop sovereign Europe or autonomous ability of Europe to produce the critical components that are foundations of NATO response to the dangers of today. They're also happening in the midst of a horrific attack of Hamas on Israel and a unified response on Europe in solidarity with Israel, in solidarity with the victims of the families, and a justified response of the military defense forces to curb Hamas operations in the south of Israel. But this attack also is being ascribed and somehow connected with the ongoing efforts of Russia to undermine the world order. We have seen Hamas leaders in September last year in Moscow. We have seen them also in March. And we have seen that some of the military training and types of operations, including the parachuters on paragliders as a tactic that we that is if not inspired and trained and then in parallel to what Wagner troops were showing and the military special operations were performing in the past. So we have an ongoing struggle of those who spread chaos, specifically from Moscow, across the spectrum of countries on the south and eastern border of Europe. And that is clearly also our concern, as from countries from Central Eastern Europe that are so sensitive and so fragile to geopolitical or geostrategical shifts. Adam, what should we make out of it in the context of this current week and ongoing developments? Where the focus of our weekly outlook, for instance, has been?
Well, we certainly do focus on the Polish and Slovak elections, which happened last week, and the Polish election is as you said, happening this coming weekend. And both will in a sense determine, particularly the Polish election, will determine to what extent the eastern flank, let's put it this way, of the EU and NATO as well, is behaving in the next 6 to 8 months. And Poland's role obviously is very important, because, you know, if Poland maintains the current Eurosceptic course and is this loose canon in terms of security policy, common security policy of Europe, common foreign policy of Europe, and that is going to make it harder for Europe to address the challenges related to Russia's aggression on Ukraine, enlargement, but also some of the security issues. Just to give you one example, you know, European countries are meeting this week. NATO is meeting this week. Foreign ministers of NATO countries are meeting this week to discuss the cooperation with Ukraine, but also crucially to discuss common European air defense. And Poland is not taking part, which is something very hard to understand on a sort of logical terms, that Poland, an exposed country, a linchpin of the eastern flank, is not taking part in some common in some common initiative in this regard. But it is characteristic of the way the current Polish government has been acting on many foreign policy and security issues, sort of acting alone, thinking mostly in terms of the alliance with the United States rather than broader European-American transatlantic alliance. So the change of government in Poland, a potential change of government of Poland, is going to be helpful to those in Europe that try to formulate more coherent European approach. Poland will have a chance to become again a more constructive voice in all the discussions about security, about enlargement, basically engaging constructively with European partners. From the current government, we cannot expect that. If you look at the rhetoric running up to the election, it's anti-European, it's very Eurosceptic, it's Germany bashing, it's institution bashing, basically no, no, no.
Yes, and we have seen this no once again on display on the European policy formulation. We had a separate statement by the president of the Council, Charles Michel, who underlined in his basically minority report, so not minority report, but his own statement from the summit, the remarks that were essentially vetoed as a common statement by Prime Minister Morawiecki that referred to curbing illegal operations of smuggling groups, people who are smuggling and transporting people to the core of Europe through Central Eastern European countries, the necessity to coordinate on the European level the efforts to curb such initiatives, and general will, and I mean basically general will to combat both crime related to such practices and to put a sense of control on the European platform. Now, this is something that the Polish Prime Minister has vetoed, saying that he vetoed something else. The level of in the Polish media specifically, he referred to vetoing a legal act, which he didn't, because he only vetoed a political communication and one particular paragraph. That if someone read this political paragraph that was protested by the Polish government of today, would scratch his head or her head why all of a sudden Poland does not want that. Specifically, while Poland, along with Czechia, Slovakia, Germany and Austria, increase border checks, search for smugglers groups that are transporting people and throwing them into peril on the more remote areas in a more hostile environment of high Tatra mountains and abandon people who they're smuggling into Europe, risking their life and safety and also risking overall European Union coordination in that respect. So it's not really clear what the Polish government of today wants to achieve with that. This is not a coordinated policy on the level we have seen in 2015 when basically Mr. Orban assumed the leadership of Central Europe with his anti-immigration narrative and rhetorics. And it is also not understandable politically because the statements and the direction set up by the current European Union majority include the major partner, political partner of PIS government in Poland, in the European Conservative Reformist Group, the Italian Brothers, led by Prime Minister Meloni in Italy. Italy actually is receiving support from European solidarity in the sense of adjusting the policies of EU towards their big problems, and Poland is achieving really nothing. So this is a clear.
Yeah, but it goes back to what we discussed many times here, which is that law and justice, that the current government in Poland is ready to sacrifice everything in terms of European policy, even partnerships with some few allies that are left in Europe, hoping that it will help them win the elections. So, domestic agenda tops everything. And of course, even in there, the government seems to have fallen into a trap because it became sort of hostage to its own migration rhetoric. but at the same time, it's compromised by the sort of illegal visa, work visa granting. So it turns out that they let in hundreds of thousands of people into the EU. And then they contradict themselves on the statements and so on and so forth. So it becomes this whole policy of the Polish government is becoming contradictory, incoherent. And what's more, the latest opinion polls suggest that none of these themes really get traction with voters anymore. I mean, you can cry wolf only so many times.
Well, that's again to be tested in the final act of this electoral campaign on Sunday, the 15th. Poland will hold elections. In other more important developments that we are covering, we're focusing on Slovakia. There is a high likelihood of Mr. Fico actually forming a government. This is the gossip that we're hearing from Breslava, that Smer and SNS are actually making nice, despite initial, probably hopes of the other parts of the political class, that the pro-Russian element would not compose majority of the government. And now we are seeing, with some dread, that Slovakia may actually include both the nationalist of SNS, Mr. Danko, and pro-Russian populist of Mr. Fico, where Mr. Pellegrini of the Hlas party would probably try to make up a good face, but he would not be able to deny the fact that Slovakia is turning away from its strategic direction that has been admirably for the past couple of years so much pro-Western in a society which is so prone to disinformation and anti-Western sentiments. That is, again, to be seen, and fingers crossed actually for this process taking longer, because as we are speculating among our team and fellows, a lot may depend also on the outcome of Polish elections, and we may also see an impact and fallout from this election, should there be a change in government, on a country like Slovakia, and the likelihood and kind of empowerment, hopefully, for the other forces of the opposition. But if not, we may end up with having three countries this year led by the forces that are, if not openly pro-Russian, then playing into the Russian hands of dividing Europe, and expecting that in the elections next year in Czechia, Mr. Babiš, who has been also accused of missteps, to say the least, might be also returning, which will spell trouble for more of Central Europe and overall for the European Union unity. Let's observe this week, and definitely we invite you also to join a series of discussions. If you missed the announcement, you can go to our website, and if you're a subscriber, watch the recap of these meetings that are happening Monday to Thursday this week, 3 p.m. Central European time, on the topics of Polish politics, Polish-Ukrainian relations, Polish economy, and the defense, which is now a hot topic also in European and global considerations about how to defend Europe with Polish participation. So stay tuned for the next podcast episodes. For our interviews, we're planning to have a separate podcast as of this autumn, later on to be continued. And for the online meetings that we are organizing for our subscribers. Thank you. Thank you very much again for listening.
Thank you.
Have a good week.